Today he's been calling on the House of Lords not to obstruct what he called the will of the people by blocking the legislation. Meanwhile, it's emerged 358 people attempted to cross the channel yesterday. So far this year, 621 have made the dangerous journey. Queen Camilla has spoken about the King as he awaits treatment for an enlarged prostate.
How's His Majesty?
He's fine, thank you very much.
Thank
Looking
you.
Looking forward to getting back to work.
Absolutely, thank you very much.
She was speaking during an official engagement in Aberdeen. Buckingham Palace announced yesterday King Charles will attend hospital next week and his engagements have been postponed. Meanwhile, Prince William has visited his wife Kate in hospital in London, where she's recuperating from abdominal surgery. Two British rail workers have had their convictions for theft quashed at the Court of Appeal after they were jailed on the word of a corrupt police officer. Basil Peterkin and Salaya Mehmet both died after they were sentenced in 1977. Oppenheimer leads the way at this year's BAFTAs with 13 nominations. The film's stars, Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt and Robert Downey Jr. are up for prizes. Elsewhere, Vivian Opara is nominated for Best Actress for her role in Rye Lane. She says she can't believe how far her career has come.
I remember saying to the casting director, like, do I need to keep my job at Carphone Warehouse? Like, yes or no? She was like, I think you're fine to let go of the job. And I was like, cool. I had no idea. No idea at all what I was getting myself into. Didn't even know about being on set, marks, anything.
And Emma Raducanu's Grand Slam tennis return has been short-lived. It came to an end at the second round stage of the Australian Open after she needed a medical timeout in the deciding set of her 2-1 defeat to Wang Yafan. That's the latest. I'm Kat Suave.
Thanks very much there, Kat, for the news at 2. And now time for a quick weather update from me.
Weather on Phoenix FM. Proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
So it's a sunny day today, but it is still a little nippy. It's 2 degrees at present and it's going to go down from here to about -2 at the sort of latest part of the evening. We have mainly dry tonight with largely clear skies. However, there are a few patches of light rain and chilly with gentle to moderate northeasterly winds. Tonight, as I say, cold and breezy. Friday, expected to stay dry with prolonged spells of wintry sunshine. Very little, if any, in the way of cloud throughout, less cold. Saturday looks to become cloudy and windy from the west, but should stay mostly dry throughout, trending milder. Sunday will be rather cloudy and dry to start, but spells of rain may arrive from the northwest overnight with freshening southwesterly winds. Monday will have some spells of showery rain at first, but turning drier and brighter later on. Sorry, that was my mistake. It's not actually going to rain tonight. That's Friday. A little bit of rain. So anyway, all good. Now it's time to invite our guest on. So we have, as I mentioned earlier,
with a special guest sponsored by
coming in today,
the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
So, as I mentioned there, I have the lovely Cherise Cook, who is joining us today to talk about her work as a therapist, which is very rewarding work. As I say, I work in the space of relationships, but I do not qualify as a therapist. And I often say to my clients, I can't actually give you too much advice on that. I would advise you to speak with a therapist about this. So just check that you're there, Cherise. Good afternoon. Let's make sure you can hear me. Cherise, can you hear me? Are we there? Okay, we might have to come back in just a moment because we're first time, as I mentioned earlier, we're doing an interview on Zoom. And I'm not hearing Cherise at the moment. So just give me a few moments. We might have to just do a song and then see what's happening if we've got any technical issues. Hopefully not. Hopefully we can all go smooth. As I say, this is the trouble, you see. I'm not the most technical person. So if anything goes wrong in here, I'm a little bit at my wit's end, but let's see. I'm going to play you one track and we'll be back in a few minutes and see if we can connect with Cherise over on Zoom.
¶¶ My lover's got no money, he's got his strong beliefs. My lover's got no power, he's got his strong beliefs. My lover's got no fame, he's got his strong beliefs. My lover's got no money, he's got his strong beliefs. One more and more, people just want more and more freedom and love. What he's looking for? One more and more, people just want more and more freedom and love. What he's looking for? Freed from desire, mind and senses purified. Freed from desire, mind and senses purified. Freed from desire, mind and senses purified. Freed from desire.
So that was Freed from Desire. That was Gala, Freed from Desire. Let's see how we're doing on the technology front now. We're going to give this another go. First time on Zoom. Let's hope Mercury retrograde is not going to interfere with this one. It says it's not going to interfere till at least April this year, so I'm hoping I'll be all right. Right, let's go for it. Let's see. Cherise, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yes, 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 you're there. Yes. Oh, wow, what a relief. Do you know what? I didn't press a button that I was meant to press. That's why it's all my fault.
Okay. Well, we've done it now.
I know. There's so many buttons on this desk. I was like, oh, I accidentally must have unpressed something. But while I was testing your mic out before, that was what it was. I leant over and I unpressed something. Anyway, forget about the technical side. It's so nice to reconnect with you because obviously we met back at the Clean and Tidy Home Show. When was that now?
Goodness, that's a great question. I think it was in October, you know, it was really quite a while ago.
Yeah, it's gone quick, hasn't it? It was a really nice day, though. Really nicely put on event. I really enjoyed being part of that.
Definitely. And I really immediately felt a sort of a mutual way of working and philosophy with you because we were all into talking about relationships and dynamics between couples and people in relationships. So, yeah, that was a highlight for me.
Thank you. Yeah, no, it's so true. It was nice because, as I say, it was a clean and tidy home show, but our panel was all relationship focused. And yeah, that was really, really nice because, you know, that's, I had, in fact, Suzanne in last week, you know, who was also on the panel with us, talking about the whole feng shui and, you know, how to tidy up your home and how that can affect your relationship as well. So, yeah,
it's
so nice to have you here. And what's really exciting is, I mean, you're doing phenomenal stuff online. You know, you've got a great social media presence. I love the way you do your videos. It's so authentic and so relatable. How long has it been since you've been putting your, you know, obviously you've been a therapist for, did you say like 15 years? Did I get that? Or
actually 20 years.
Oh, there we go. Right. It's your relationship that's been 15 years, I think, right?
Yes, yes. Well, actually, we've just celebrated our 17th anniversary in December. So, yeah, it's been a while.
It was lovely to meet your husband as well. And it's so nice the way that you, you know, you work together as well. I love that, that you've got that kind of partnership where you can actually support each other and actually collaborate in, you know, in this space as well. It's beautiful.
Thank you. Yes, I love working with him. And I think it's really useful having a male perspective. Yeah. And also sort of cultural things, because he's from a different culture. He comes from a, you know, multiracial family. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoy what we can bring when we're working with people. When I'm working with my husband, it's really fun.
Yeah, you're quite right. And it's interesting because I think I might have even touched on with you about, you know, I'm very interested in that whole dynamic or whole conversation around polarity in relationships. So it's interesting that you say that, because, of course, working together, that creates that polarity, because then your clients are potentially getting that, the male and the female perspective. And is that right. Is that something that you kind of you go into in your work? Because obviously being a therapist, being a licensed therapist, there's certain obviously guidelines that you need to follow. Do you kind of incorporate some of the spiritual aspects and New Age type philosophies into your work as well?
Absolutely. I mean, I like to be as open-minded and open-hearted as I can be, because I also think, you know, different things reach different people. And I consider myself quite a spiritual person. And then I'm also very scientific, I suppose, in my professional life. So, but I think this is where it's nice, and I'm sure you feel this with your work, is that when you're talking about love, you know, there are facts and practicalities to love, and then there's also something very deeply profound about love that we can't find in textbooks.
Yeah.
You know, it's very emotive, and it's such an important part of our lives. So absolutely, anything that will help people get more in touch with themselves, and then being more loving and kind. And, you know, I love concepts like grace, you know, faith in one another, hope, all of that. So I suppose, yeah, I'm open to anything, and then I'll apply it to my work in ways that I feel is appropriate.
Yeah, fantastic. And when did you make that shift between, because at some stage in your career, you were working from, you know, because I like to talk to people also, not just about what they're doing right now, but actually what led you to this kind of work. So so you started off as a therapist within a private practice, or did you start off doing it on your own at first? What was the journey like there in your career?
I was incredibly lucky because I'd done my psychology undergraduate degree, because I've always been interested in people and understanding people. But, you know, I was really, really young, and I just did volunteer work. I worked with young people with disabilities, and I actually had a boyfriend at the time who worked at a nearby rehab, and just as a volunteer would go in, hang out with the patients, just be of help out, you know, the counselors working there.
Yeah.
And he then had to leave. He was doing something else. And I said, hey, I would actually love to do this. And he got me an interview, and I went in as a volunteer. And it was just amazing. I just felt this real affinity with the work. And they took me on, and they trained me. They paid for me to do my master's.
Okay.
They trained me in-house. And I loved it. And that's actually where I started working around relationships with sex and love addicts.
Wow.
So it was a great training ground.
Oh, that is so fascinating, because I mean, I remember sort of in the news, you'd hear about like Halle Berry's husband cheating, Tiger Woods, and you know, they were known as sex addicts, but some people even argue, you know, is that really a real addiction? So what's your experience of, you know, what leads to that? And it
optimizes. Well, yeah, I mean, so from my perspective, sex addiction definitely exists.
Mm-hmm.
If what we do have is we have a chronic issues with pornography and masturbation, and that would fall under the heading of sex addiction, where you're just you can't contain it. It's very unboundaried. It's then it kind of taking over your life. So there's that. Then there are, you know, there are people who have multiple sex partners, have sex when they don't want to have sex when they don't, you know, like the people. Mm. You know, I think the important thing to remember is that an addiction is not a good thing. It's not a fun thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, people who have alcohol or drug problems aren't, you know, the life and soul of the party. They're often at home on their own, getting drunk, hating themselves, and it's the same for sex addiction. You know, it's a compulsion that can happen a lot online now because we're so, you know, LinkedIn online. We can get anything we want online, and yeah, it's very compulsive and very, very destructive. So it's not just a sort of get out of jail free card when you've been caught cheating, for example. That's probably right. Not sex addiction.
Yes, yeah, absolutely, because that's it. Yeah, that's right, because some people could actually use that as an excuse. I'm sorry, you know, I'm an addict, I can't help it. But actually, right. You know, so there are sort of, there's a process into understanding and identifying, just like any kind of diagnosis. Presumably there is a kind of process to being diagnosed with something like that.
That's correct. That's correct. You would have to sort of qualify on a number of levels, but also for it to just to be having the highly destructive impact on yourself and your relationship, your life and your self-esteem. That's how we can really see, okay, we're in something here that's a bit destructive, which often leads to some sort of understanding of addiction.
It's so true what you say in terms of, you know, because people kind of see addicts as being quite selfish people, quite indulgent in a way. But it's interesting that you say that they actually really dislike themselves and they really dislike what they're doing, and it's kind of this kind of way of beating themselves up when they're doing it. And I think that's actually something that a lot of people don't really think about when it comes to addiction, is that how painful it really is for that person to be going through that addiction.
Oh my goodness, you know, obviously working in the rehab was really humbling and eye-opening, because yes, you know, the level of self-hate that most addicts operate from. But then, you know, this is where human psychology comes in. You know, when we're feeling that, we have to defend against it. Mm. And this is when we can appear arrogant or grandiose or emotionally shut down. It's kind of, that's the superficial defense, if you like. Underneath that is real low self-worth, absolute self-loathing, and this awful process of addiction, which ultimately often is self-harming in nature. So it's a really destructive process. And but I also sympathize with people who have an addict in their lives, and active addict, because that's incredibly painful and it's baffling and it's extremely difficult, and it's very difficult on marriages and relationships. And that's how I actually developed even more into relationships, is that I would work with family members of the people who were in the rehab. I started helping with family groups. I would do couple sessions to help integrate them back into home life. And that's when I really sort of found my passion, if you like, because that felt really worthwhile to be helping people recover and move on and have much better, healthier relationships.
That's incredible. Right, I'm going to take a very quick ad break, and then we're going to come back and continue this conversation, because I know I could speak to you forever. There's so much, but I want to hear about what happens next, and then we're going to lead up to what you're doing now. So can you stick around for another 10 more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, great. We'll be back in just a sec. Thank you.
Okay.
Nino Villaricci is an exquisite modern Lebanese restaurant featuring a beautifully expansive outdoor garden and a private dining room. A perfect setting to celebrate any occasion. We take pride in serving traditional dishes infused with a delightful modern twist, meticulously crafted using only the finest ingredients. To book a table or inquire about exclusive venue hire, call us on 01277 714477 and join us to indulge in the epitome of modern Lebanese hospitality.
The all-new Players Lounge has got everything you need for the perfect night out. With two bars, a restaurant, and the best sound and lighting system in Essex. With regular special events and guest DJs, you're always guaranteed a brilliant night at Players. On the 5th of February, it's top DJ Roman Kemp. And on the 12th of February, it's the Stars of House with Marcus Dryden, Mickey Star Lewis, and Daryl Privett. Check us out and book now at players-lounge.co.uk.
Get the home improvements you've always wanted at a price you can afford with SEHBAC and our biggest January sale. There's up to 50% off our stunning range of windows, doors, conservatories and extensions, and the option to buy now, pay in January 2025 or 2 years interest free. Transform your home for less with SEHBAC. Get inspiration at your nearest SEHBAC showroom or at SEHBAC.com. Representative 19.9% APR. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm joined in the studio with the lovely Charisse Cook, who is a licensed therapist, a psychotherapist, an author, an online educator. Are you still there, Charisse?
I am here. I hope you can still hear me.
Yes, I can. I can. It's lovely. It's the first time I've had an interview here without someone actually physically being in front of me. So it's so different. I'm like, hello, because we've not got our cameras on as well. It's like checking you're still there. So you were talking about the fact that you got into your line of work by sort of volunteering at a rehab centre, which was really eye-opening. And you felt that you kind of discovered your vocation, your calling at that point. At that point, did you say to yourself, right, this is the route I want to stay in, working with people in addictions? Or at what point did you kind of start to change direction and make more of a focus on relationships as to what you do now?
I mean, I definitely feel I found my vocation. I was so grateful at the time because I remember going into work every day thinking, I can't believe I can make a living doing this. It just doesn't feel right. It's just too good and rewarding and fulfilling and just being with people and helping people. Why I should be sitting at a desk and hating my job. So it was a great discovery. But working with addiction is very challenging and it's very wearing, and I sort of feel like you can do it for a few years and do it really well, and then you know you can kind of branch off and do something else. I would always refer to the rehab that I worked at as a sort of the ER of therapy, because yeah. It was just full on. It was non-stop drama and things happening, and you know it's very, very tough. But I did enjoy working with people, and I did enjoy working with families, and I did enjoy working with the partners of the people who were struggling with addiction. So gradually it just became more and more about relationships, and then I left that treatment center and actually started my own treatment center, and I took more of a director role, so I took a little bit more of a global view of things. But again, I was always dealing with the partners, and I was then doing lectures to patients about relationships. And I just loved it, because I guess what I noticed when I was working with people is that we'd always end up talking about their relationships.
Yeah.
If they had an addiction issue, if they were depressed, if they were anxious, if they were having struggles at work, we would always end up talking about their relationship, because our relationships are either going to support us in our lives and give us a great sense of fulfillment and happiness with ourselves, or they are really, really going to create a lot of upset in our lives. And so, yeah, it just sort of developed. And then I started running workshops, loved up workshops, I called them. And then when COVID hit, I was like, I actually want to do something online. So, because I feel a lot of therapy, you need to have therapy to really get it. But this therapy is really helpful because you need to be educated. Mm-hmm. So just educating people about this is what a healthy relationship looks like. This is what healthy communication looks like. This is what boundaries in a loving relationship looks like. You know, we can learn that. We don't have to be in a therapy session to get that information. So that's what I wanted to do online.
That's incredible. I think that's what happened with a lot of people during COVID, actually, is everyone kind of looked at ways to adapt. You know, and it's great that you were able to spot that opportunity to adapt your business, to be able to reach more people, because ultimately, you know, that's it. When you've got people booking in those 1 hour sessions with you, there's only so many people you can help in one day. And of course, when you're at that situation, people can't even come into there with you. So I guess you were doing some Zoom calls, but even that, you know, that one-on-one work, it's still, you're still limited, aren't you?
That's absolutely right. And it is frustrating, I think, sometimes working with just one individual at a time, or a couple, or however many people are in the partnership. So I do enjoy sort of, I suppose, teaching more is kind of how I view it, and sort of teaching and having conversations and discussion, which is obviously very different to therapy. So I do enjoy that, but I still have my private practice now. Mm-hmm. I still work pretty much full time doing that. Mm. But that really feeds then what I teach, because I'm working with it. It's really live in my, you know, day.
You've got the kind of things as well, haven't you, to kind of use as examples in a way of to teach, you know, how to kind of apply these things and to understand, to constantly be learning about the challenges that come up. I mean, what do you see as been the main reason for why people reach a stage of wanting to get divorced?
I think people change their view of their partners. Mm. At the beginning, we're very enamored, we're very accepting, we're so tolerant. I love working with people, and they've just started their relationships, and you see how effortful we can be. You know, we'll go the extra mile, we'll put in loads of effort, we find them fascinating. And our modern lives, there's just so much that is asked of us, you know, with the cost of living, with, you know, financial worries, working, and then bring on family and kids, and we've got extended family. There's a huge amount of stress that we have to face as individuals, but also as partnerships. And then the last thing we sort of think about is putting time and effort into our relationship and keeping that strong. It's kind of, can't you see all I'm dealing with, you know, whatever, you know, I think...
Yeah.
It's very, very difficult to grow through life and support through life together. I think we all naturally almost go in opposite directions, and then too much time passes, and then people can't find their way back to each other.
Yeah.
So I think, broadly speaking, I think that's something that happens to many of us.
Is that kind of, in a way, sort of taking each other for granted?
Definitely. Yeah, you know, we're so... in love at the beginning, and we're so cherishing of one another and appreciative of one another. And then I sort of always jokingly say that we have a sort of, you know, the real pandemic is the pandemic of being critical in our relationships. We live in such a critical society. We're so negative, we're so fault findery, and in our relationships, we really, really are, you know, they're highly emotive, and they're going to trigger all our stuff. And we just come out fighting, and we fault find, and we criticize, and we've forgotten that we're with a really beautiful human being who enhances our life and has their own backstory that's full of sadness too. You know, we absolutely take each other for granted, and we also stop appreciating one another and instead noticing what isn't there rather than everything that is.
I think that's so true. I think that's something that I think it's very easy to make excuses. I recognize that, and I'm always aware of trying to keep, you know, the passion there in the relationship, because my father's always said to me, there's always a danger that you're going to end up just being friends. You've got to keep that kind of, you know, that tension between you, really, in a positive tension, right? Otherwise, it's just literally you're living with flatmates, you know. And I think that can easily happen, can't it? Because, as you say, you've got, you know, you're kind of just existing together sometimes, but not necessarily staying connected, as in like dialed in to one another, you know, at all times. And I think that is the thing. It's almost like sometimes people are working towards staying dialed in until they get the marriage or until they get that commitment. And then it's almost like, right, locked in. Okay, haven't got to worry anymore because they're here now. I've got them, you know. Do you feel that there's an element of that as well, where it's kind of, once actually someone is fully committed, it's almost like we become a little bit too complacent with that person then, because we just think, that's it, I've got them, that's it, they're there to keep.
Absolutely. I think that sort of nails it in a way. And this is also where it's interesting, this is where the sort of psychotherapeutic angle comes in, which is we are taught how to love. Mm. We are taught how to be in relationships by our parents, our caregivers, grandparents, and sort of on and on. And, you know, adult life is hard. Raising a family is hard. There's a lot of drudge. There's a lot of domesticity. There's a lot of banality. And often what was modeled to us wasn't, you know, caregivers or parents that were really into each other.
Yeah.
You know, really having loads of fun together and, you know, somehow sensing that they're having, you know, a really enjoyable sex life and that they actually really like each other. Mm. Not just that they're married and that they have a family, but they like each other and they listen to one another and are curious about what one another think. You know, that kind of relational way of being, I think is something that many of us were not modeled growing up, and many of us can't embody. So yes, when we get married, it's suddenly like, okay, well, this is how we're going to do it here. And we sort of turn our brains off and just all the unconscious ways of relating come out. And it's not about what we actually want, which, as you say, is being plugged into one another, really feeling one another, feeling the support and feeling part of a partnership.
Yeah.
I think learning how to be partners now is something that we're doing and generations after us are going to do better and better.
Mm. But it's also like, I guess we are of that newer kind of stage or generation of people that are kind of making men need to be emotionally tuned in as well and emotionally aware. And I think years ago it was, oh, the men are just breadwinners, they just, you know, they bring home the bacon and that's about it. They don't need to be there to talk about feelings and express and all of this. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like there is definitely a lot of learning. We've all got to kind of create this new dynamic for relationships now that didn't previously really exist. It's evolution.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I think as women today, we really will not settle for just a man that is not going to be is not going to emotionally turn up to the relationship. But then we've got to sort of, in a way, invite them in and sometimes show them, and sometimes we're not keen on doing that either, you know. But there's also something that, I mean, when I started this 20 years ago, the world was different even 20 years ago. Yeah. And even in the last 10 years, and in the last 6 years of my private practice, I've noticed an unbelievable trend, which is more men initiating therapy and more men struggling in their relationships due to an emotionally engaged woman.
Oh, how interesting. So, and, do you feel that then that is a... That's also a signifier that women are a lot more in their masculine energy.
Definitely. I think, you know, as women, as a woman myself, and as a strong woman, it's we are really empowered, and we want to be empowered, and we're becoming less apologetic for that. Mm. And there's also this residual kind of anger that is sort of coming out a lot. And it's very unjust, you know, all of this, but it's also very understandable. And so I think there's a strange thing happening where men have never been more encouraged to be sensitive and women have never been more encouraged to kind of be really bold and brazen and focused on work and all these other things. And those two things together don't actually create great relationships back home.
Yes.
It creates a lot of conflict and a lot of tension in a negative way, because the roles are changing, and when, you know, we're all trying to do everything. Mm-hmm. As women, we're trying to be great workers and entrepreneurs and mothers and wives. Mm-hmm. And men increasingly are wanting to really be parents, really wanting to be hands-on, mm-hmm. but they also still want to be workers. But that's also feeling like a big pressure on them, and they don't want that so much anymore. So there's a lot going on for us to navigate. Mm.
So what do you think the future is going to look like in 10 years from now? Do you think it is going to be more like the men want to stay at home with the children, the women want to go out?
Yeah, I definitely think men are going to be much more interested in homemaking and child rearing. That is already happening. And I work with people in corporate environments who talk about how the younger generations, you know, millennials and Gen Z, you know, they want a work-life balance.
Yeah.
They don't want to be working until 9 o'clock at night. They want to leave. They want to come home and have nice homemade meals with their dogs and their girlfriends. And, you know, it's sort of, it is a very different landscape.
Yeah.
And I also think in 10, 20 years' time, I think relationships are going to be different. I think relationships are going to be shorter term. They're not going to be forever. We're going to have, you know, medium length relationships for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be much more interested, because I think also what's happening in our society today is that we are much more focused on our individual wants.
Yeah.
The thing of the community or the group or the family, that's falling away. We all want to be living our best life.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very self-focused. Some of it's negative, some of it's really, really positive.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's the way it's going to go. People are going to be much more wanting to get a lot more out of their one wild and precious life. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be lots of different chapters, you know, for them as they chase that. People aren't just going to settle down and be married for 30 or 40 years and feel that that's enough.
Yes,
That's what I think.
I think that's it as well. You know, it was that sort of curiosity. I mean, there's lots of kind of talk about, you know, increasingly accepted in society, so it's very interesting. So what also leads me to ask you, because I say I could speak to you here forever, we've got so much ground to cover, but I also am very interested in the sort of attachment theory concept, and I always sort of refer my clients to read, like, you know, the books based on attachment theory. Obviously it's Carl Jung's theory as well, I think. Am I got that right, or have I mixed it up with
a British psychoanalyst called John Bowlby actually started the whole thing, along with Mary Ainsworth, who came along a little bit later. Right. They were the founders of attachment theory.
Yeah, Carl Jung, sorry, is the Myers-Briggs, which I also get them to do. You know, the Myers-Briggs personality test.
Yeah.
Like the ENFJ or whatever. But the attachment theory. And I've noticed recently a lot of people that come to me, like the other day I was sat down with someone for a matchmaking consultation, and she was like, I just realised, what am I doing here talking to a matchmaker? You know, actually, I don't think I am ready for a serious relationship. And, you know, when I asked her about the last three guys that she'd been on dates with, it very quickly came out that, you know, oh, well, this guy, he told me that he actually wants to get married and have children soon. And I told him, you know, that's too soon. I can't be talking about that now. We're just going to be casual. And, you know, it kind of struck me, and I was thinking, okay, I want to, you know, again, I'm not a psychoanalyst or psychotherapist, but I've become a bit of an amateur one because I've interviewed thousands of people. And I was like, this sounds a bit fearful avoidant, you know, because she's, you know, she's, her parents are divorced, and she's obviously had witnessed that. And she seems that she's obviously here because she wants to see me, she wants a relationship. But there is clearly a big fear about the fact I've sat down, I've showed her some great guys who I can introduce her to, and she got scared. So your work and your book, is it, this is kind of going in deeper about the sort of attachment theory and how to understand, and how, can you tell us a little bit more about your upcoming book?
Absolutely. Thank you. I mean, most of us know a little something about attachment. There are various attachments. There's secure attachment, anxious attachment, and avoidant attachment. And as you rightly say, there's also, because there are two parts of avoidant attachment, which is dismissive attachment and fearful avoidant attachment. Mm-hmm. And when we have insecure attachments, like anxious attachment or any of the avoidant attachments, that is there's fear at the root of how we relate with other people.
Yeah.
And there are, you know, quizzes and books out there that talk about attachment theory, but there isn't a lot of guidance around, okay, well, if I am insecurely attached, what do I do?
Right.
That's very much what my book is about, because there are lots of books about attachment, but I wanted my book to be about, here are really practical ways of becoming more secure. Let's go through all the traits, and I go really in depth in all of these traits. It's my favorite part of the book, where I say, this is what it looks like in real life. This is what's happening. This is the way you think. This is the way you speak. These are the emotions that you feel. And so recognize that, and now we have to bring something to this fear. We need to bring some way of breaking out of this and becoming more secure in your approach, because and you know, our world today with online dating and the apps and all of that, and us all, you know, walking away from relationships that much more easily, it doesn't create a very secure making space actually for people to be falling in love. So we're all quite frightened now. I think that's very understandable.
That's so true. A lot of people probably are actually just afraid of just being too discardable.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, especially people who've been dating and have been on the apps and everything else. I mean, if you think about the most triggering things for us as humans, as primates, is to be rejected or abandoned.
Really? And is that one of the biggest? Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. That is a deep biological fear that we all have, because if we're little, if we are rejected or abandoned, we're going to die. You know, so it's a very primitive response that still exists in us profoundly and very, very powerfully. And when you are on the apps or you're going on loads of dates and whatever, and there is this idea of more, better, you know, people are just being discarded. Yeah. And there's unfortunately quite a disposable attitude to us all now. These faces and pictures online that can just be swiped through. And then, so in that way, I think it is creating a lot more insecurity.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense. And it makes me feel quite emotional, actually, because you mentioned that about that, you know, that just thinking of that child earlier this week that was found literally died next to his father that had died, you know, because that was literally something that happened. So it's, yeah, it is, of course, a fear, because we do. So that can also sometimes go the other way, where someone can be very fearful, avoidant, not want to get too close, but then sometimes can be very clingy. Because you're very afraid for the same reasons.
Well, that's it. And I think as humans, you know, we will do whatever it takes to feel safe, to feel connected, to feel okay. And sometimes that involves absolutely us holding on tight. Oh, not wanting to let go and compulsively messaging, or, you know, wanting lots of reassurance. And or we can just shut down and again be defended and be like, oh, well, I don't care. You know, that doesn't matter. That doesn't hurt me. And, you know, we sort of choose our safety making mechanisms. And all of that is a very painful way of engaging with the world. And it just keeps us actually quite lost and quite lonely. So this is the stuff that the book really, really seeks to address, is to really lovingly and compassionately growing within ourselves to be robust enough to withstand relationships and to withstand dating and to withstand difficult things in relationships. Like, you know, because as we progress, it doesn't get any easier. If we want to have children, we want to buy a flat, whatever, all these things are massive strains.
Yeah.
And we need to stay loving and kind and connected and be great role models to our kids, which is a lot.
It sounds like a tall order, doesn't it? But it's possible.
It is 100% possible. And it's a great adventure. You know, I think that's the other thing, is that we do have a sort of pessimistic attitude these days of life's hard and it's a real struggle. And that's true, but that's also life, and life is a struggle. We need to only look at watch a David Attenborough to know how life is really scary and challenging for all of us.
It's true. It's all about perspective, right? There's always 100 ways to look at the same situation.
That's it. That's absolutely right. And let's try to see it as an adventure. Let's try to see it as something that will stretch us and help grow us into the best versions of ourselves that we can be. And that's maybe the point of life.
Yeah.
You know, it can be exciting.
Oh, it's incredible. No, I'm definitely with you on the same wavelength there. So it's coming out February the 8th. Can you remind us, tell us what the name of the book is and how people can pre-order the book and all of that good stuff?
Yes, absolutely. So the book is called The Attachment Solution by Charisse Cook. That's me. And it's available for pre-order now everywhere. And pre-orders are so helpful for first-time authors like me to just get the word out, show the interest, and really kind of support the book. So that can be pre-ordered on Amazon or Waterstones or any booksellers all throughout England. You can go online and pre-order that now from wherever you buy your books. And then the 8th of February publishing date, you'll get it, or you'll get the download.
Fantastic. Well, I'm going to pre-order mine today, that's for sure. And yeah, it'd be lovely. Are you going to do a book launch or anything? You can do an event around it?
Yeah, I think perhaps I might do something interesting, like running a workshop so people can be really engaged and sort of be learning about themselves, rather than just like a book signing or something like that. So I'll keep you posted if I do anything, 100%.
Yeah, I think so. It'd be so good. I'd love to get some people down there as well. And how can people stay in touch with you and follow all your amazing content?
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm very active on Instagram. I believe that daily reminders and just keeping us on the right road is really, really helpful. So that's what I do with my Instagram account. I want to be your therapist that's just there in your pocket, and I'm just sort of giving reminders and teachings every day. And my handle is at Charisse Cook. So I put a lot of time and effort into that. So I think if you're wanting to grow and learn about relationships, my Instagram, you know, will hopefully be helpful.
Yeah, absolutely will. It's been such a pleasure having this conversation with you, and I wish you all the best. I hope your book is up there with the top sellers. I'm sure it will be. And thank you so much for just all the amazing things you're doing for humanity. It's incredible.
Oh, well, thank you, Siobhan, and thank you for being so flexible and doing your first ever Zoom for me. That's amazing.
Pleasure. I can do them all the time now. See, I just feel like I'm a pro now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Lots of love. Bye now.
Take care. Bye. Bye.
So that was Charisse Cook. It was such a lovely conversation. Really enjoyed speaking with her. I will be uploading the podcast if you haven't caught the whole interview. Her book is coming out on February the 8th. As I say, do give her a follow on Instagram and pre-order that book. Honestly, her content, her advice is incredible. And the book is called The Attachment Solution. So we've only got 15 minutes left of the show. It's gone really quite quick today, which I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. Joe will be in next from... Oh, what time is it? Three till six. Joe will be in for the drive time show. And then we will have, what else have we got going on? We have got, Joe Bailey's in next with Michelle about mindfulness. And we've got 98 Not Out, 6 till 7. The Non-League Hour with John Chubb. Bumper to Bumper with Gareth Williams. The Night Shift with Madeline Christie at 10. And then Destination Dawn at 12. And just to keep remind you that every Monday, Phoenix FM have got our very own open mic night at the Essex Arms at Worley Hill in Worley in Brentwood, hosted by Kev Piggott from 8 till 10. All tracks are recorded and a selection is played on the Sunday session show every Sunday from 10 a.m. So get your name down there. If you're an artist, you've got some music to play, just come and play. So here we are. I have a track here for you now. This one, in fact, no, just before I do that, before I play this track, I have got to play the ads. So yes, Jade, after these ads will be your track. And then I'll be handing you over to Joe. I don't know where my adverts suddenly disappeared to. See, this is what happens when I'm trying to multitask. So you don't always manage to do it as well as other times a day. Here we are. Just give me 1 second and I will get those up for you. And then I will be back in just a second with some more music.
Management of Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut and Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.huttonspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226 124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Are you looking for a reliable local travel agent to book your next holiday? At Not Just Travel Brentwood, we can book tour operators such as Jet 2 Holidays, TUI, Hayes Travel and many more. We package any type of holiday together with full ATOL and APTA protection, giving you complete peace of mind. Visit our website, dinaandwarren.notjusttravel.com, and let us take away the stress of booking that dream getaway.
Done the streets when them sing on ground, so I fell and no be. so can see my team, them don't be feed up. Premier League is not you ever. Small body, my engine bigger gun.
Echo!
Doha! When you show up, Doha! Doha! Doha!
Sade there with Nothing Can Come Between Us. Nice classic song. See, I liked it when they used to play these, you know, songs that were all nice and lovey-dovey and all about love. Of course, had Charisse on just now, and we were talking about relationships and how to make them better. She's got a nice book coming out called Attachment Solution. So if you've got, like, understanding attachment theory, it means, you know, if you've got a secure attachment style, if you're a bit fearful of relationships, if you avoid them, if you're anxious, you know, we've all got varying degrees of experiences and things that we've had in our lives that may well affect our ability to connect with other people. So it's always worth, you know, exploring this side of yourself and understanding how you can try and work on it, because at the end of the day, we all want to be in a secure relationship, don't we? Really, we don't want to be feeling all on edge and all anxious and you know, afraid that things are not going to work out. You've got to take a chance when it comes to love. You know, you can't just play it safe. Playing it safe is a risky business, someone once told me. So there we are. Anyway, only got time for one more song now. It's gone really quick today. And I haven't really had a theme with my music. It's just been a bit all over the place today. But it's been one of those weeks, to be honest. But I hope you've enjoyed it anyway. Last week, as I say, it was more of that sort of 80s theme. But today, I'm just a bit of this, bit of that. This one is Fireboy with Ed Sheeran with Peru. I wouldn't mind going away somewhere hot like Peru at the moment. But you know what's really nice? Right now, I can actually feel the sun in my face for the studio, which is a nice feeling. So I'll just close my eyes for a few minutes and pretend that I really am in Peru, even though I'm in Brentwood, but it's all good, you know? Just use your imagination. Here we are, Fireboy, DML, Peru.
I'ma get no be so, girl, you won't capture my soul. I'ma get no be so, make we one umbo lumbo. Peru, ba, Peru, Peru, ba. I'm loose, even Peru done the para. It's nothing Josie, I'm in Josie. Won't call it for one Josie. I'm not playing with you, I'm not joking. My daughter, mom is loaded. Me a king for go, but I'm on board. I'm on duty. I'm on Loki. They won't do me. They won't do me. They won't do me. Cause they won't do me. When you won't want me. When you won't want me. I'm in San Francisco, Jami. When you won't want me. When you won't want me. I just flew in from Miami. Peru, Peru, bye. Peru, Peru, bye. I'm loose. Even Peru, don't be bad.
Pour out the bottle, I wanna level up. When I'm with you, I never get enough. Slow wine, I'm not in a rush. You're here tonight, we're rolling. Party till closing. Since I put the ring on the finger, it's still frozen. Love in slow motion. I wanna feel you over me, yeah. Certain magic in your eyes, yeah. Girl, I love the way you ride it. And it happens every time you arrive. That's right. Girl, I want you in my life, yeah. There's a heaven in this right here. I will never leave your side. Stay tonight, tonight. When you won't see me, when you won't see me, I'm in West London this evening. Giving me the feelings, no, I'm not leaving till I fly LA next weekend. Peru, nah, girl, I'd rather go find somewhere quiet. You glow, and I get lost here in your eyes. I'ma gain all be so, girl, you just capture my soul. I'ma gain all be so, make me wanna just take you home.
Peru, on the hour, that's perfect.
From the